traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Men, shit. Men, and women too. Anyone, if anyone asks you, and you got a little crush on them, what are you doing tonight? Hit them with the IDKU, no parentheses, exclamation boys, question marks.
Nothing.
Leave it up in the air, ambiguous. You got 3 outs.
Yeah.
Or one, just, you're trying to. One, it's like a question to reciprocate. And the other one is like, who are you, stranger?
I don't know you.
What the fuck was that? What was that? That's the noise Mike makes when he falls because I didn't get his life alert in time. Bro, father time. No. My guy.
Yeah, you should get a life alert, Brandio.
I'm working on it right now.
Really?
Yeah, but I've fallen. I can't get up.
Have you ever fallen and you couldn't get up because of intoxication?
A million times, yeah. Bro. Yeah. You know when the room starts spinning and you're like, probably best if I just go to sleep. Like, you don't even give it a shot. You're like, but I have to pee so bad. You're like, just piss in the bed. So just pee.
Hey, guys, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. You've heard it before. We were nominated. I'll try again, probably.
Yeah, just go again.
We were nominated for a Streamy. I hope we win, because if we win, that'd be the first time I've won anything this year.
We need some dubs. We need
to start collecting W's.
Yep.
We had a podcast on Wednesday with Chuck Liddell.
Woo!
Chuck Liddell, UFC legend. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go look at it. Mm-hmm. I haven't changed, if you noticed. Because again, we're just kind of all in a weird mood.
Don't
it's
ever
a weird
change.
Vibe in LA.
Yeah. Ever? Don't change for no one, bro.
Yo, have you ever realized that legend, the word legend is really just leg end?
Wow.
Is there any reason that someone would do that to us?
I don't believe in that conspiracy.
George yesterday, conspiracies, bro, just on that note real quick, are dangerous. George yesterday suggested smoking and watching conspiracies. And I have a theory that that's why conspiracies are accepted in any capacity. Because everyone watches them when they're high as fuck.
Yep.
And they think, bro, when we went to the Flat Earth Convention, you guys remember this, after we were done shooting, mm-hmm. I smoked heaps of that good Colorado Kush.
Yeah, you did.
And with the altitude and having just completed the Flat Earth Conference Convention Center, dog, I 20 minutes into my high, I'm like, the earth is flat. I remember
you started to say that.
Bro, because I started reading a book talking about the firmament and shit.
Yep.
The firmament?
Yeah.
What if I reach it?
Mm-mm.
And what if I put my hand through it and I'm Mm-mm. in space?
And that's right when you started watching the Ruth Gertrude videos. What are they called?
The Ruth Goodberg machines.
The Ruth Goodberg machines.
The chain reaction machines.
A domino knocks over, puts toast in the toaster, the toast pops up, shoots a rocket off, rocket hits a fucking
my
pan,
favorite.
A pan fries an egg.
Rube Goldberg.
He was just watching them on repeat, and I saw the beads of sweat just starting to grow on his eyebrows.
Yep.
And he's like, and I look at him and I'm like, yo, man, what's good? You all right? You have so many layers of clothes on. Why don't you take one off? And he goes like this. He goes, with the most blank stare I've ever seen. His brain had already turned into pudding at this point, dude.
Yep. Like, in other news, though, you said you were depressed, right?
What's your fucking problem? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. Was that a bad way to bring it up?
No, of course not. I'm just fucking
Mike
with
said
you.
That?
I never said that.
I'm just kidding.
Hold on a second.
You're just going through
multiple,
a tough time.
No, there's multiple layers of jokes happening right now. Let me dig out of what I've just caused. I didn't say depressed. I'm just stressed right now. I got a lot of different things going on. Some are at like different levels of success. Others are not. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, dude, I don't know. Maybe sometimes like I just long for the days past of just, you know, me and my pops just playing catch outside the old house with the white cupboard board.
Nah, man, fuck those days. Nah. I remember when I was a kid and I would do that and I'd tell my dad, I go, Dad, I can't wait to be an adult. He goes, you kidding me? You're a kid. You're going to have the most fun of your life right now. And I became an adult. And I made life my playground, bro.
So, fun.
Trust me, these days are better, bro.
I'm not saying that. What do you want? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I guess sometimes a little simplicity.
Do you think you're stretched out?
That's on you. Because what he just said.
Yeah, right? Do you think you're just doing too much?
I'm doing a lot.
Because you're always like, you never stop, bro.
You see that, right?
We, mad respect to it. But at the same time, I feel like you gotta pick your things.
You really do, bro.
Like I come downstairs and it's like, you know, I'm always the first up. I'm on the computer at like 8 o'clock in the morning, like every day. And I just work all day long. It's the only thing I fucking do. And then I come on, I shoot the show, I get off, I work some more, I come back. And it just goes and goes. And then it's time to shoot the night shift. And it's like all the way through. And like I see people, like vegan people doing shit. They're like cutting Brussels sprouts. And then always, for some reason, I always walk in on this part of the conversation. This is what when I get really sad. I always walk in and somebody goes, and then she said to him, and I'm just like, I don't, you know, the last time I had a then she said to him type conversation, bro, because it's something all funny and they're all jovial and they're laughing. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to take a car ride. Do you want to know where I take car rides? To a fucking meeting, bro.
Right. Mm. Dude, this is for this exact reason. I've like seriously considered just stopping posting YouTube content, Instagram content, unless it's like real meaningful. I even deleted Instagram. Until my documentary's done, bro.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. What the fuck did you just say?
I deleted it.
I lost a follower today.
No. My account's still there. I just deleted the app off my phone.
Wow.
Oh, that's kind of like the cheating way out, dude. Like, let's be honest. Like,
well, you know, why would I delete it? You know, it's like that account has value.
I could see you on the fucking browser now using browser Instagram like a real fucking loser.
No, I relate to you because there's been like when you're in LA, especially you're getting pulled in like every direction. You could literally do anything like every day of the week. And for me, focusing on my education documentary until that shit is done, I've identified that. I've said, you know what?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
If that documentary goes out, which I believe it will, on a big platform and gets like, you know, international recognition, that's going to do so much more for my career than trying to do like everything, trying to have like a little music and YouTube content. And it stresses me out.
I think you're spot on, Spencer.
Yeah, you are.
I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
My dad said, ever since I was a kid, he said this, I'm more afraid of the man who's practiced one kick 1,000 times than the man who's practiced 1,000 kicks one time each.
Yeah.
I think, and I sort of got to experience this a little bit with training camp, but like being able to lock in is very refreshing because I love multitasking and I'm addicted to just like trying everything. Like I'm innately curious, but I mean, we're talking about next steps with Maverick and I think focusing your efforts is if you want to make a real impact, because even think about it, bro, my goal to become the biggest entertainer in the world, I gotta be careful, because if I do too many things, you just become diluted.
We were talking about music yesterday for you, and when I left and I thought about like what we were talking about, I was like, you know what? Like it's your thing. And if you don't feel like 100% sold on it, if you're not like motivated to it, you know, that's on you.
True. But I also find true pleasure and fulfillment in winning and success. Like top 3 things I am addicted to and need in life. It's that like the fulfillment of winning and your hard work paying off in a positive way.
Yeah.
So sometimes with music, for example, let's say this is hypothetical. Let's say I like sort of like it. And by the way, I know let's make it real. I do enjoy making music.
Mm-hmm.
I would not say I'm super passionate about making the best music that I possibly can, but I will happily endure and go through and spend time on something that I do like for a big potential payoff.
Right.
And that is having a hit song, performing on stage, whatever it is. Like I'll suffer for a little bit, even if it's something I don't like as much as music. It's training, for example. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I actually like training.
I think the only thing problem with that though is I feel like the suffering like shines through, you know what I'm saying, in your work. Like I think like the people that really succeed at something are the people that are passionate and love what they're doing, because it's so definitely authentic and it shows through so much, right? That when you like half ass something, you're like, well, I was really good at this, so maybe I'll try music really quick. Like there are people who literally wake up every day, they eat, breathe, sleep, fucking music from the day they're born out the womb. Music, music, music. It's pumped into their veins like fucking intravenously. And then those are the ones that just like that dude, Arizona Zervis, that just put out that song that just blew up. He's like the number one independent artist right now. He's got millions and millions and millions of streams. Like he put out music for what, like 20 fucking years before song popped up? You know what I'm saying?
He made that song Roxanne. I'm sure you guys have heard it.
Roxanne.
Never know everybody all night. She think I'm an asshole. She think I'm a player. She keep running back though.
Oh, we're gonna get demonetized.
Nah, because
independent
Arizona is independent, and he'd have to come and manually claim this video.
What if he does
in Arizona, bro? I know you live. I will throw eggs at your house. Yeah, hard boiled.
We'll attack.
He lives right near us.
Yeah, he does.
Speaking of music, what would be great to listen to music on?
Ooh,
wow!
It's a layup,
alley oop,
Mike.
Traffic jams, tailgating. Pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Guys, it's Black Friday. And High Key at High Key Co. on Instagram is having a huge Black Frail Sade. It's Black Friday. Black Friday sale. These are the best quality waterproof wireless earbuds on the market. They're waterproof. So if you ever have a burning desire to listen to music underwater,
it will get put out.
Waterproof or water resistant?
It says waterproof here on my brief. It also says this. The link to purchase right now is linked below, and you can use my discount code Logan for an even larger discount. This is crazy. It says that. So I write it like that. Crazy's cash. This is crazy.
It's capitalized with an exclamation.
I've actually got the new High Key wireless earbuds right here right now because I want to show you guys not only how dope these look, but also the killer features they have. I'm not reading anymore. I would put these on, but I got these headphones. Yo, sponsor our podcast headphones. I mean, what's really good? auto Bluetooth pairing 5.0 connects your phone instantly. All the good stuff. Waterproof IPXX7 rating, which I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. And this is actually Jordan's company. Jordan and Luke Lins when Stefan Arneau came on the podcast.
The Canadian carnivore.
Yeah, the Amazonian boys.
Yeah.
So it's Black Friday, guys. Check out the link below, straight to the website or www.highkeyco.com. Mm.
Damn, bro! Look at this little ball of love.
That's great.
Wow.
No, but back on, just touching on that really quickly. You're right. I think the biggest successes come when passion meets hard work.
Yeah.
But like I'm looking at this Muhammad Ali quote, and everyone knows this. He says, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit, suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion." Sometimes that suffering you got to just endure it. Mm-hmm. I had this conversation with someone the other day. I pride. And because I believe that most humans, their goal in life, if you ask them to boil it down, it's like, I'll do it with you right now.
Pretty simple exercise.
I'll do it with you.
All right, sure.
What's your goal in life? What do you want to do? Do you have a goal?
I would prefer to not have to think about a lot of things. Is that a possible goal?
That's your goal. That's your goal in life.
Have I not told you what I want to do?
He wants to eat chicken tenders in a lazy river.
And float down a lazy river. Peace of mind peace of mind. And that's why my issues are so counter. Because think about it, bro. My situation is a little bit different. I didn't have like the whole like, oh, I've stepped up the ladder. Like I went through fucking hell, bro, for so long. And so anytime I'm able to escape hell and be in a place where like I don't have to worry about fucking, yo, I need 3 more segments for this Night Shift episode and then I can get it live and then I'll get the feedback I want and the sponsors and the Lovesack deal went good and Face Clan and this and that and all the different like side impacts. Anytime I could shut that shit the fuck off, like we're doing, by the way, right now as you watch is in Hawaii. Because right now I know we're here right now, but we're in Hawaii.
We're drunk in Hawaii with Mike's family.
Right now as you watch this. And so like there's so like jealous. A hula girl in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
Like that right now I'm doing what I need to do because like, so my goals are a little bit different than other people. So yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. All right. Because benchmark, peace of mind.
Sure.
Goal.
I would say unify humanity.
Wow. Wow. Okay. See, that's why I didn't ask you. Cause you're special. You're an outlier. You really have like empathy for the human race. Not just like your friends and family.
I like making people fucking
same.
Laugh.
We all do. We all do. Yeah, okay. Is that your life goal? It might be, but I know his life goal is to like change the education system and
unify humanity.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right. Point is this peace of mind. I believe if you boil down everyone's goals, 99.9% of people's goals, their main objective is to just simply be happy.
Happy. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Just maintain. Yes. Just be happy. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, if you're happy,
you have to.
You can't say this life sucks or was a failure or that you did. That's why, like, man, you see people, celebrities, billionaires with all these things and money, and they'll tell you like a lot of the times it doesn't fulfill them. And meanwhile, you have a family in Ohio making an income of like 50,000 collectively in their home, and they're happy, they're ecstatic just to be alive and live with each other and experience love and friendship.
I feel like you guys, I mean all of us, but you guys in particular have the luxury though to be chilling with those celebrities and see like, holy shit, this person's like kind of miserable and like
it's not good. It's hard to tell right off the bat. Some of you can tell,
I'm sure,
but also like a lot of the celebrities that I've like hung out with or have seen. They're good at masking, and they are a celebrity because they are sort of chaotic in their mental. Like a lot of artists, bro, experience so much, and that's why a lot of actors can feel so many things because they do, and they really put themselves through the ringer. But all right, let me stick on my train of thought here.
Yep. Yeah. Let's get back.
Maintaining happiness and wanting to be happy is the goal of humans. Yeah. So I had an epiphany the other day where I had to ask myself, like, is that my goal? And although like I would love to be happy for sure, I decided me as a human, I'm willing to suffer an immense amount to achieve my goal, which is to be the greatest entertainer in the world, because I like to entertain and I want people to forget about their shit life.
And that's what makes you happy. That's what makes you happy.
Exactly. So it's like a whole
cycle.
A cycle. Yeah. But, I don't think it's out of the ordinary to be okay with suffering, because I think it's a part of life. And I think the sooner you can adopt that mindset, you'll be able to achieve your goals.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the suffering, like if you got to pick the thing though that you're willing to suffer for, instead of, you know, if you're doing like 10 things and all of them require suffering, then you're going to be drained. You're going to have some like serious like, mental issues.
Like I think of Nikola Tesla, homie died a virgin. Mm-hmm. You don't think it was difficult for him? Like his version of suffering may have been like forfeiting his potential social life. You know how hard that is, dude.
That's what made him happy though.
Some people like that are so disconnected from like those desires.
They don't even think about that kind of shit. Yeah. Like the thing I would say too, for a lot of people too, because one of the worst things to hear when you're like confused or like torn about what to do in life is somebody to say something as fucking broad as do what makes you happy. Like, have you ever been in one of those situations before where you're talking to like someone, a potential mentor, and they're just like, what you need to do is you need to figure out what makes you happy and do more of that. And like the 90% of the crowd claps, but the 10% that are like me are like, yo, what the fuck does that mean?
Right. Yeah.
So what I have tried to do is the counter of that. And instead of trying to figure out how to do things that make me happy, I try to push away the things that make me unhappy. You know what I'm saying? Like, this makes me feel like shit. This makes me feel anxious. This makes me feel like I'm losing control. Get the fuck out of here. Drugs, get out of my life. This, get out of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that will help you start to surround, because by process of elimination, if you eliminate the things you don't like, you'll start to surround yourself with more of the things you do.
I feel like that's experience, right?
It all takes so much time.
What are some of the things you've identified as negative or non-contributing?
I mean, for me personally, and I'm not saying it's for everybody, but drugs for me were, I was not able to do them in moderation or lightly at all. And I'm not making that decision for anybody watching the show, but for me, they didn't work. I hate to be like too like rude about it, but stupid people. I don't have much time or patience for stupid people. I don't like, and I know that sounds horrible, but like, I don't really want to spend too much time trying to make people smarter, people that I don't think are going to be able to think and figure it out, like at some point, even with the right coaching. Like, so I've tried to surround myself with good people. And most of all, number one, the biggest thing that I've tried to cancel out of my life, and by the way, cancel out of the lives of my family and friends, are bad people. Bad people. People that have bad energy. They have bad motives. They're motivated by just greed, just money, just manipulation. I want those people as far fucking away from me. I say this all the time now. If somebody came up to me and was like, yo, I got a $5 million bag for you tomorrow. You sign the line. You get the check. Someone else in the city's life takes a drastic turn for the worse. I say, fuck you. Don't, I don't want that money. I don't. Jeff, how you much, can point and laugh as much as you want.
Jeff doesn't believe it. How much money? How much money?
What is your?
How much money? How much money?
There's no amount of money. There's no amount of money. Here's what I'll say. If you coming from someone who knows, Jeff, shut up for a second. You're not on the show. Coming from someone who has been through shit and has done wrong in this life, there is no price tag on the feeling of guilt. It is unfucking priceable. Mm. As someone who knows more about guilt and regret than just about anybody else in this room, I assure you, there is no price tag for knowing that you fucked someone else over. It is a tragedy, dude.
I agree.
Thank you.
I just want to ask the question.
$100 million.
Okay. someone loses a limb. Nope. Someone loses a limb. Nope. How much money?
No
I have
money.
The contract
nope.
for you.
Nope. Don't care.
For a limb? Bro, a pesky limb? Find him and give him half the money, bro.
Nope, wouldn't do it.
How much money
for
you?
Yeah, I mean, what if I came into
I have the contract right here. You sign it, you get X money.
Wait, it's a collaboration.
Someone's gonna lose a limb, dude.
I'm not gonna do it. Money to me is, I think I've gotten to a point where it's not something that I even pursue.
What if you could pick who loses the limb?
If you can collaborate with the person, yeah.
Okay, if it's like the freaking leader of ISIS, then lose a limb.
Nah. It's got to be a collab.
No, but
like they have to agree. I have to go upstairs and be like, yo, Ev, I got a deal for us. He's like, what is it? I go, you will lose a leg.
What will they get out of it? Just losing a leg?
No, I'd probably give him, that's a deal. So okay. 60-40.
Now you're talking business, all right?
But hold on a second. But even if you do that, and I hate to go back, first of all, that's not how it works. You never get to ask the person if they're okay getting fucked in the ass. It just happens, okay? And second of all, there are a lot of people out there who have the idea that they're willing to lose a limb in exchange for a half of a bag. How do you tell them a year later when they realize that it was the worst decision they've ever made in their fucking life that you're sorry? Do you know what I'm saying? It goes back to that guilt and regret situation.
You just sorry, bro.
No. See, this is...
Sorry for the whole this leg is the, thing.
That we joke around about this, but these are the episodes people watch and they're like, yo, these dudes are like Logan Paul's fucked in the head. Like he has no, it, like
surprise.
No, but you're really not. I know you as a person. Bro, you're not just, as bad bro, as you make
I just,
it seem.
I just got in a ring and tried to kill a man as he tried to kill
people
me,
people do that
bro.
All the time. People box off. Yeah.
You don't think what?
What? Well, you don't think all the time, yeah, bro. They still have empathy.
And you don't think they're sickos?
No.
You don't think it's fighting is sick? Is sick?
It's as sick as NFL. It's as sick as downhill skiing. All of those sports.
Nah,
it is.
I think.
Of course, I don't think it requires any more confidence than skiing off a cliff. Extreme sports people are fucking just as lunatic as fighters. Boxing.
I won't deny that.
No. Yeah.
But also, bro.
MMA, now you're starting to press the boundaries a little bit. Boxing is a sport. If you got hit, in the head with one of those 10-ounce gloves and you took a couple extra shots, you'd be just fine. Trust me. It's years and years of the abuse that the problem is. So I get it, but MMA is different.
Yeah, I've yet to see someone who, like, exited MMAs and in their like six, even boxing. Somebody who's in their like 60s, 70s, they're like going strong.
Not gonna lie, bro. I met Tito Ortiz the other day.
He looks good.
That's an understatement. Yeah. This man looked healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Articulate, mm-hmm. happy. By the way, like, I don't know what his ethnicity is, but just like beautiful caramel skin.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
I love him.
I saw him in the airport at LAX. Just went up and talked to him.
He loved
him.
Logan. He was
guy.
So nice, dude.
Yeah, bro. He came up to me.
Saw your fight, man.
He goes, hey, man, Tito. I go, yeah, obviously. Hey, how you doing? Been watching you since I was 10, man.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, dude, we should train together. Yeah, bro. MMA, anyways.
MMA is crazy.
Yo, it's nuts, dude.
Nuts.
Yeah, so curious for you, with your next steps, and we were talking about music, like, are you throwing music out the window? Like, Are you considering it?
I have to decide, bro. Cause like, all right, using the conversation we just had as the base.
Yeah.
It would be really nice if I could pull a David Dobrik and just focus all my energy into one thing and become the best vlogger on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that already. So do I take a step back or do I take a real step forward and do TikTok?
Oh, no. God dang it, bro. Jeez.
No, dude. I want to do.
That was a dry hand job right there.
Here is a list of things I want to do.
All right, let's list them out.
MMA, I need one professional MMA fight. I need it. I'll probably get two if I do one. I want to do a feature film. We have one. We wrote it. Evan and I, starring in a feature film. It's over there. It's got dust
facts,
on it.
Facts, facts. A lot of dust.
But we're going to do it. I want to do a feature film. I want to do stand-up comedy, dude. Mm. I want to do stand-up comedy. I got to try. And I want to take over digital again in a way that we haven't.
Yeah.
You know, age up a little bit. So I got all these things I want to do, and I really just gotta.
Is music in there?
Pull no? back. It's not.
I've been pushing.
I'll use the word dabble.
Yeah.
I like to dabble.
I've been pushing them on it to get back to the base, get back to the revenue driver, get back to the thing that, and by the way, fighting was a revenue driver too, so I can't really say that, but get back to the thing. Like, I kind of believe that people are kind of put here to do something great. We've seen that he excels in the arena of digital storytelling. It is kind of like his place. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, the things he's picking are not dabble zones. Music ain't a dabble
zone.
That's
the problem.
You go into music because you were born to fucking do it, dude. You had either a voice, musical rhythm. You understand the culture, everything about it. Like, you were born for that shit. It's not a dabble place. Fighting's not really a dabble place either, but he was a great wrestler, so that kind of made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how long do you stray away from something that you are so fucking good, that you're so good at, that you can continue to build? And by the way, take little deviations. You were really good at digital content. Go into movies.
Mm-hmm.
Go into other shit that makes sense in that vertical. But it's like, yo, or by the way, you want to open a restaurant and promote it through and have somebody else cook and somebody else do, and you want to do a business, and business fits in with everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you like digital storytelling, create a business around digital storytelling.
I love that.
And now you've got business.
I love that. Like, I think, like, when you look to everybody is trying to make it on the platform that you've already established yourself on. And when you look at, like, David Letterman, Oprah, like, these people are in that industry for their whole lives. Like, that is their base. Yeah. They do not leave it.
No matter what else they do.
Right.
And
they get better all the time. They expand it. They create their own network. They, like, you know.
That's why, bro.
Because they own that lane.
I really want to get strategic and smart with the way and type of content we're producing in the future. Like, I haven't released a video on YouTube for the past week and a half intentionally. Because we're sort of waiting on this appeal, which we may have gotten the answer by the time this came out. But I just don't want to start hopping into, like, commentary YouTube or, like, regular vlogs without some sort of strategy. I haven't even posted on Instagram, dude. And I don't feel bad about it, or I feel like I need to, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've gotten to a place where I've established myself. Now let's really load up and swing big when we swing in the right way,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, we just bought $10,000 worth of mountain bikes. We mentioned this on a podcast before. Old Logan would have made a vlog that said, I just bought $10,000 worth of mountain bikes.
Yeah.
But, like, who gives a fuck?
What would you title the new video?
Let's make it a part of a story of us outfitting the new ranch that we just bought as a fantasy playground.
And, like, mountain biking, like some epic adventure or something.
Yeah.
Maybe still a little cliche. Like, right. You know, like the mountain biking montage. I'm sure we'll do it a little bit, but there's just got to be a...
I told him too, like, the thing is, it's almost like a flip from what was shown and what wasn't shown to vice versa. Cause I was talking, we were talking about the other day, and I was like, you would buy $10,000 worth of mountain bikes back in the, where's he going?
I think he just shorted, bro.
Did he short out?
No, yeah. Cause you press his reset nipple.
Hold on a second.
No,
I'm good.
Okay, he's back.
Thanks, high key wireless earbuds that are waterproof. He used to, like, dude, the thing that separates us from a lot of the other people is, like, we do a lot of really cool shit, like, outside of the fucking film place.
Like hood rat shit.
Like, a lot of hood, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of hood rat shit, but also a lot of A-list celeb hangouts, a lot of fucking, like, partying with the weekend, partying with, like, we do a lot of really, really...
That happened
honest
once.
Honest to goodness.
That happened once.
Cool shit. Is the only time you ever partied with a celeb?
The Weeknd.
No, no. But any others?
No, but you said partying with The Weeknd type shit.
Train of thought.
I'm just saying that happened once this past weekend.
Insert other name there, person watching this that couldn't catch my sentence.
But also, we're not really regular. With The Weeknd. He was at the same place as us. You know, like he was at our table.
Did you talk with him?
I ate Sun Chips with him. Yeah, bro.
Oh, you ate Sun Chips?
Yeah,
well, dude, it's official. You only eat Sun Chips with your best friends.
That was at Rich's house, but.
So anyways, what I was saying was, back in the day, like the vlog would be, I bought $10,000 worth of mountain bikes, and he would show the purchase, the mountain bikes and people jumping around. And then he would turn the camera off and start doing all the shit people actually want to see.
Right. Well, do you just have a crew just following you around?
That's what we're looking at doing now and saying no one really, unless there's six, cares that you spend $10,000 on mountain bikes, but they might care about the fucking girl that you're hanging out with who, I don't know, flashed the World Series earlier that week and everybody in the world's talking about her and we're hanging out with her every day. So why not put her in the fucking content and drive views on views on fucking views?
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
When girls text you like, what WYD tonight?
Yeah.
What are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
How often do you respond with just you?
I've done that a few times. Mm. I used to. Mm.
It's become like a sort of.
But you threw the... I don't know you.
That's good.
Well, I wasn't sure if she'd be like, what do you mean you don't know me? We just met. It was meant to be like this.
Oh.
I don't know you.
Oh.
But maybe she took it as, I don't know you.
That's good.
There were three different ways.
You got an eject button there in case anything goes wrong.
She's like, that's rude. I go, no, I'm saying I don't know you.
No, I don't know you.
Wow, that's great. Wait, that was not the way I thought you were going. I thought you might have meant like, I don't know you. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so many different ways that could have gone. Like,
hey, men and women too. Anyone. If anyone asks you and you got a little crush on them, what are you doing tonight? Hit them with that IDKU, no parentheses, exclamation boys, question marks.
Nothing.
Leave it up in the air, ambiguous. You got three outs.
Yep.
Or one, you're trying to fuck. One, it's like a question to reciprocate. And the other one is like, who are you, stranger?
I don't know you. I never would have thought of that. We are in weird territory today.
Yeah, that's great.
Virginity stories, question mark.
Let's get way weird.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dylan on his pencil pad has written virginity stories, question mark.
Yeah, mom and dad, if you're still listening at this point, go ahead and just scroll your mouse up to the corner and hit the
subscribe
X button.
After
the subscribe button, do that, of course, and then the X button.
All right.
What are we supposed to do here? Talk about when we lost our virginity?
I want to hear your story, Spencer, because, like, bro, you strike me as a fucking pussy, bro.
Wow. No, dude. This is actually, you're going to be proud of me, bro.
All right.
So I was dating a girl, and she just would not put out, bro.
Prudes? She wouldn't put out?
She's prude.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, prude, yeah.
Okay, sure. So she wouldn't put out, bro. So at this point, wait. This is an important factor. And she was also a bitch, okay? She wasn't cool. And so I was getting real sick of it, and I was about to break up with her. Dang, I hope this doesn't get back.
That's what I'm thinking about, too,
I was about to break up with her, and she got in a car accident.
Oh,
and broke both her feet.
So you couldn't break up with her?
I couldn't break up with her, dude. And not only
was
she
a virginity.
I just took it, dude. Not only was she a bitch, but she was an injured bitch, dude.
Wait a second. The first time? Did she have
she had two broken feet, dog. She was in a wheelchair. So I'm like, all right, well, can't break up with her. This is horrible now. And so obviously months are going by and I'm becoming hornier by the month, dude.
Oh no.
And so it was finally to the end where I was just like, you know what? Can't do this anymore. I was talking to this girl and I went over to her house. I had to sneak into the house.
Wait,
I had to climb in through a window.
The broken girl?
A different girl.
No, different girl.
You cheated on your broken girl?
I did, dude.
Oh,
it was like right at the end.
That's how you lost your V card?
Yeah.
Wow, I ate my words.
Right?
Wait,
I entered into their house through a window. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you got some sort of like Lieutenant Dan type sex on with this wheelchair girl. I was waiting for it, dude. Ice cream, no. Spencer.
No, man. That was
Lieutenant
back
Dan,
I was
ice little, cream.
A little dirty,
wow.
Man.
You're a sick fuck, dude. No wonder you went vegan.
You had to.
I had to. I had to offset all the freaking badassery that I did.
You're fucking badass.
I actually knew you were badass in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a little troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. I was. Yeah. What about you guys? How'd you lose your V card?
Something tells me you have a really...
I never lost mine. Actually, I'm hanging on to that bad boy for dear life.
Do you have a crazy story? Mine's not too crazy.
It's pretty tame. 14 years old. 14. Sorry. Well, maybe I was 15. Sorry. Wow. Maybe I was 15. But I just moved over to the new high school. It was the beginning of sophomore year, and I was at open court, and everybody would go and play basketball, and people would smoke weed, and I think people would like bring kegs to it and shit. And there was this one girl, and I saw her, and I was like, I really fuck with that girl. She's so hot. But I knew that she like hooked up with a lot of like upperclassmen and shit. Like she was like pretty much like, she was kind of skanky. I'm not gonna lie. She was hot. If you're watching, I'm so sorry. But like she was high key hot, right? And it had this bubble butt. And I was like, yo, she's hot as fuck. And so I told all my boys, I'm like, yo, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, I was like, I really fuck with this girl. She's so hot. And we started partying with her. And then my boy fucked her. which I hated. I still kind of resentful for him, I'm not gonna lie, dude. And he smashed, and I was like, but it was like, yo, this dude was like fucking since he was like 12. Like he was already on like my game now. Oh my at God. 12. Like he so to yeah, him.
He was one of those dudes that was like already 6 foot dude, four by the time.
No,
12.
He was a short little fucker.
He
was a munchkin. And so he fucking hit it, but then he paid no mind and he just moved on. And so I was like, now I've got this like tainted property situation here where the fucking damaged goods and fucking my boy just like skedaddles, right? And so then like as time went by, like, you know, we started like hanging out, partying again, and like we actually liked each other. But I was like, but damn, like, you know, like something we would never say nowadays, like she fucked my boy, because by the way, like everybody's fucked, like
this we is live in LA, incestuous city like everybody, in the world.
I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, you did? You fucked Logan? Oh, really? Okay. Wow. Okay. And so I was like, yo, we were like talking, and then like we liked each other, so we started like talking more and further and shit. And then one night we were hanging at our house, and her deal was her parents were always home, dude. Like mom and dad were always there. Like they would come home after like jobs and like make dinner and shit like that. And so one night it finally like led to it. We were like hanging out, like partying and shit, drinking. I think we probably were already using a little drugs. And we like started like hooking up and like, open this door.
Oh, that's
open. What are you guys doing in there? And dude had the whole like fucking parental fucking breakdown type shit. And I had to pull my pants. Like, but we got the deed done. And from that was when I realized I wanted to be a porn star. It just felt right, dude. And by the way, we made...
Oh, that was with her?
Yeah, we made...
That was your first time?
What? No, not the first time, but do you know where this is going?
Yeah.
We made a video. and by the way, I made videos all the time after that. Like, I went on a fucking video.
You said you
rampant.
Did it on, like, what, a camcorder?
A fucking VHS.
Like, with tapes? Like,
yeah,
you had to pop the
a
tape
VHS
in?
Tape, bro.
So those are still floating around in the ether somewhere.
Yes. I don't know how else to fucking say. And I also don't even know if I want this to go out, dude. Because I don't care. By the way, I don't care, because I'll be honest with you. I fucking threw down in that video, dude. So I don't give a shit. And like, I'm not. Yeah, no, I said it.
So you'd
fuck,
be like,
if I'm
going to
do
it.
This shit. So there's this camera, bro, right? And the problem with fucking VCH, what am I saying? What did I say? VHS is that you have to like scope it out and then you could see it, but there's no screen to watch it on. So once you set it up, like there's no forward facing camera on it where you can see what you're watching. So once you set it up, it's set up. And like, what if we move around and we move out of frame and you got no dick in the frame or some shit, right? So we set the camera up.
You don't want that.
And we set the camera up on a copy of either it was Pinocchio. It was a Pinocchio VHS tape. And we propped the camera up, and I mentally drew out a zone on the wall that we couldn't go outside of. So anytime she would approach that zone, I would be like, yo, come back in the frame. You're approaching the fucking no-go zone, like a gray area and shit. But yeah, we got like 4 or 5 good positions in, dude. It was pretty solid, dude. It was a good first run, dude. And
God.
After that, dude, then the next like 3 or 4 I made were on flip phones.
Ooh.
And those all got stolen too. There's a fucking arbitrage of fucking by
can,
old,
all right, can I ask you
of underage porn. Like technically someone can't even release it. If you're in possession of it and you release it, like you're going to jail.
Yeah, somebody
like,
just got about 3 that. Flip phones and a VHS right now and they're just waiting.
Like is that illegal?
Yeah, you can't have that. It's child porn.
No,
yeah.
not to have for him to make as an underage man.
We were both 15. No.
That's probably way illegal, right?
I wonder if this whole section gets cut.
No, Jed will tell us. By the way, no, it's not, no. Dude. Of course you can do it.
It was like 20 years ago. Do you think the feds are about to just like swing into the window from ropes?
Imagine they did. They fucking cowabunga into the window. Bro, but honestly, like that was... What?
Like you're 15, you're under your parents'...
So technically, it's the parents' fault that you're a porn star.
Yeah, so your parents are gonna get the FBI.
No, not my parents. We're at her house.
Oh,
so her poor parents, they live at like a lake house now or some shit. They're gonna get fucking ran up on by the feds, bro, yeah. Like choppers and shit. But yeah, I mean, it was cool first time.
That was a great story.
How about you? What do we got?
Mine's like pretty tame. I had a girlfriend, you know.
Yeah,
and I'm one of those people. That if I like someone and there's a first moment, I really want it to be great. I really do. Even to this day, like if I really like a girl, this happened recently. I won't kiss her just like randomly, like in my kitchen or something. Like I'll try to do something cool or at the end of like a special night or like a moment where we both really feel each other's energy.
Mm.
Kind of whack, but it's how I do
no,
it.
No, it's not. Very sentimental. I feel that.
And by the way, when I get married, it's not going to be like, oh, I'm taking her to dinner this day.
It's when you
this.
Feel it.
When I will have the ring and the moment will be perfect.
Some people
and
we'll do
both
it like that.
Feel it.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, it will be after some epic event or something, but.
I'm hoping, by the way, that when it actually happens for you, if you do things right and I like put in the right guidance so that all of it goes right, you're able to say like, garçon, bring me my ring. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want you fishing around in your fucking pocket of your Brooks Brothers suit for a fucking ring. I want some motherfucker to go in a golf cart to your other house to get your fucking shit, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I wanted my first time having sex to go well, obviously. So we decided to just do it in my room.
So it was pretty romantic.
Was Maverick in there while you did
it? Nah, not yet. Not yet. We did it in my room. And my parents came home. They weren't home, and they came home like halfway through. Oof. And so it immediately ruined the vibe because my whole perfect night of losing my virginity, and by the way, it was her virginity too.
Wow.
It was very mutual. It was very romantic. They came home. I was like, shit, man, I don't even know if I'm doing this right, whatever. And then the condom broke.
Oh.
The condom broke. My nice. First time having sex. And you know, when it's your first time having sex, you've put on a condom before for practice. Like you've done like the test runs, and my condom broke, and this was not standard procedure. Like I didn't know what to do.
What's that word you're using?
Standard procedure.
Not that one. It's
condom.
Yeah. What?
Condom. So check this out. It's like a thin piece like of rubber you put over your peen when you have sex to avoid STIs, sexually transmitted infections.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And avoid pregnancy.
Yeah.
Has it like a 99.9% effective rate?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
And it's a you buy it at a store.
Yeah. You can get them pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, if you go to like any like convenience store.
So you're telling me as opposed to actually having sex, you're fucking a piece of rubber?
In many ways.
Yeah, in a way, in a sense.
That's probably why you haven't heard of it. Most people aren't.
Oh, wait, hold on. I get that's that thing that just removes all the joy out of the activity.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
I heard all about this fucking thing.
They're not too popular on the East Coast.
Just saying.
Just giving us the neck.
Moment of truth. I have been the most responsible condom wearing person probably in this entire fucking room right now for the past, I don't know. No, you did? You're a fucking liar. You have a beard. You look like a pilgrim.
Nah, he definitely is.
No. Really?
I'm way impressed with his condom use.
Yeah, but he kind of got
how long?
It, bro. If you're going into a war zone, you need to
how long have you been doing
it, you
that
know
for?
What I'm saying? You need to put it on your helmet.
Forever.
Oh, but the condom broke. The condom broke.
Really?
Wait, you? You have a girlfriend, so you've been using a condom?
No.
You use a condom with your girlfriend? No.
I know those people. Yeah. By the way, those people fucking weird me out.
Yeah.
Remember that one person that we talked about?
I know who it is. I know who it
that's
is.
That's weird, yo. You have a full-time girl. And by the way, like, in a way it's weird, but at the same time, like, with all the cheating, especially in LA that goes on, I kind of almost, in the weirdest part of my mind, get it. But at the same time, yo, how do you eat? Like, at what point do you try to maybe give enjoying life just a shot? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, yo, I've been so careful in every aspect, but I think I'm going to give a smile a chance today, bro. Like, what's fucking good? Sorry, you broke your condom.
No. Yeah, it was just, I didn't know what to do. And it was really embarrassing, but at least we're in it together because she was like that too. But yeah, it was good. It was cool, man.
Didn't you realize exactly how different it feels once the condom broke?
No, I was panicking. I don't know, bro. I was in panic.
Red alert.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a couple of times. And to his point, actually, I always think that I'm gonna notice when it happens, but you really never do. You do every time. You know what I think? I think like, yo, it's just me, like I'm about to come. And so like, I feel like it's like that good like thing. And then it's happened to me a few times. And by the way, it always happens like on the raunchiest of nights. Like when I'm just like, yo, if this condom breaks, dude, just disintegrate me. Put me into the fucking deep fryer because I'm fucked, bro. I got no chance of walking out of this one. It's like that dude in that movie where fucking Matt Damon falls into the fucking radioactive like door. What did we just watched it?
Oh.
Elysium, yeah. And he falls inside and his skin boils off. Like, that's what I think of. I'm like, yo, this. And then every time I pull out, and there's just a little fucking rinky dink ring around the base of my dick. And I'm like, dude, just fucking shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucked. Sorry. You could pull all that. It's so funny whenever I like fire off and I just look at the faces of the people that are watching and they're just like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
Well, the other good thing that's happening is.
Oh, you're boozing again. How's that feeling for you?
I actually think it's making me dumber.
Yeah, we got...
More dumb. Yeah. It's harder to connect thoughts. Yeah.
You feel the dumbness.
Here's why. I think I boiled it down, boys. I fought KSI. First thing I did, go to club, get drunk.
Yeah. Oof. You got to give your brain some time to heal.
Gave it no time. Gave it a couple hours.
And you've been boozing ever since, too. You've been on a run, yeah?
It's just not like a run, but I'm definitely not taking it easy.
Bro, you should hit... A 30-day meditation, like, consistent
yo,
challenge.
Yo.
I'm telling
yo.
You. Just do it.
Yo.
No, here they go. Don't worry about that.
Do you see that door?
That's a nice door.
Get the fuck out.
I'm not going to do that.
Jeff is holding me. I can't see those, Jeff. Oh, he did text me that. What did you say? Jeff texted me?
Please don't drink a lot.
Please don't drink a lot.
Yeah, I know.
You just don't need it.
You just don't need it. I said, Jeff, shut the fuck up.
Jeff and I.
Bro, because I just got out of a, training camp for 4 months. I didn't drink, no problem. But here, and also, bro, I took the L. So let me.
Let him drink himself into oblivion.
Bro, I don't want to be present. I don't want to be here. So let me get fucking low. Bro.
You know,
drinking, bro. At the end of the day, man, drinking's gotta stop at some point if you want to really just be a legend.
You know, when a lot of people usually cut it off, and it's the time you know you have to, when they lower that casket and you're in it, bro. It's hard to drink from. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm thinking about doing 2020 sober.
You should.
I've been thinking about it whole fucking year, dude.
You should.
Just because. I know, it's crazy. But bro, we ran through these 90 days like fucking madmen.
I love that for you.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Hold on a second. I'm not telling anybody else to fucking do it.
Wait, no, but don't you think that'll be hard for you, bro?
Not really. I'll be honest with you. I operate so high fun. Like, I like my people that I like a lot. Like, there's this dude, 40-ounce Van. He just smokes hella weed and he doesn't drink at all. I think, yo, honestly, drinking's the most readily available. But it's also just like the most like destructive.
Oh,
like,
it's horrible.
It just fucks you up.
It's bad.
Like as Jeff walks away with his empty beer bottle, he's like, yeah, I told Logan not to drink. He's IV lining beer into his arm.
Yeah, beer's, alcohol is rough, dude. It's rough.
Dylan's telling me non-alcoholic bars are opening up. So what, they serve like juice for the vegans?
But it's a whole vibe. It's a bar vibe.
Bar vibe.
No liquor.
See, that's tricky. Nah, fuck that. Yeah, Denver, no, I'll tell you why. Because
drinking is that thing, though, that sets in. Like, I've seen it like around like 50 to 60. You see the people who don't drink and did drink.
Yeah, they have CTE. Really see it. They have CTE.
If we weren't alive in a time where I truly believe that in like 2 decades, technology will be able to fix everything, including my bum knee.
Yeah, the brain is one of those things, though.
You're right.
I feel like
you're right.
Like you could fix. You're right. You could fix a bum knee. You could fix probably a bum pee,
nice.
But you couldn't fix a bum brain, dude. I really don't.
Let me tell you something really quick.
Unless you want someone like Mark Zuckerberg is going to hack it, and you're going to start thinking about
the brain
dicks all the time. 24/7 dicks
has the highest capability of regeneration of anything in your body. The brain, the brain is miraculous. Its ability to regenerate and to regrow.
You have to give it the space to regenerate.
So this was what I was just going to say. I think it just depends on the person and the time of their life. Like I already, the reason I don't want to do it is because I already did it for so long. Like I already got fucked up my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like literally for decades, dude. Like I would spend all day long just fucked up out of my mind to like try to repress some sort of mental problem or just like make myself feel numb to like the outside world, whatever my reasoning was. Right. And so now like, I'm just looking for ways. All I want now is to truly be happy. And for like my, in my current mindset, sometimes like a really good bender, a 3-4 day bender, it'll take me a week or two to correct the anxiety from that serotonin dip that comes as a result of it. So like me personally, where I am right now, I'm a little bit more like fragile and not as resistant to the downside of it. Whereas he could fucking booze it up, party. He may see very little downfall as a result of it.
Probably the next day working out, dog.
Yeah, but this is, you had a couple rough ones in the past week, be honest, bro.
We were at the ranch. Ooh, just sending it, bro. The next day I woke up, Andre goes, how you feel? I said, great. And I went on a run with my boy.
Hold on a sec. No, I'm not talking about the good ones. I'm talking about the multiple terror, the worst things.
I don't like to talk about those.
I think drinking.
Hold on really quick. Do you remember me and you sitting in your business advisor's corner office overlooking the Hollywood Hills the other day? Both unable to literally function in any meaningful way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was.
Do you remember that? You were wearing an IKEA bucket hat. You were kind of sweaty, but pale. You had the same clothes on that you had had on for the past four fucking days.
Two or three. 48 to 72 hours.
You hadn't been home. Yeah. You hadn't. I remember I woke up the fourth morning. I was like, Logan hasn't slept home in 3 days. He hasn't been home in 3 days. And like, so like, I think like everybody at some point catches up to, but he's a lot more resistant to the issues that I deal with.
I think drinking has more side effects that you can't see, that you're not even conscious of. Like those nights that you even are going out and drinking could have been invested into something like pushing your dreams forward.
Nope.
I think there are other benefits that can come from like going out. But if you look at the people who actually dedicate themselves to their career and don't drink all the time, like if it's an every now and then thing, it's okay.
Yeah. But on the contrary, I also know very successful people who do copious amounts of drugs and alcohol.
Most of them are very unhappy. Very unhappy when you get down to the bottom of them.
I won't. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they are.
I can't.
But so success in like a material sense. But if that's what you're going for, like sure.
But success in
mental health.
I don't know if the drinking makes them unhappy. I think they're unhappy so they drink. I could be wrong.
I think. I mean, it like. Like attracts like.
Here's why my knee jerk reaction is no, because I really do need balance in my life.
That's what I was going to say. I agree with him on that.
I think that's balance. I'm for that. But
what's
I think
your escape? You know what I'm saying? Like,
what is your escape?
Yeah. So that's
for me. Yeah. For me, my escape is triathlon training. Like when I'm training for an endurance event, and I know that. When I'm in my 50s, 60s, I might feel some of those effects, right?
I get it. But have you ever heard of the saying, pick your poison?
Yeah.
The fact that your poison is triathlon training, you're an outlier. I'm sorry, dude. And I love you for it. We both fucking love you, bro.
That's why I voice it. I think I'm okay with it. I'm not telling you don't drink forever.
Right.
But if it becomes a thing where it's like every... you know, three times a week, four times a week. That's where when you're 50, 60, bro, you're going to be feeling a little shitty.
We're not even that much. And that's why I allow it even for myself, because I'm supposed to be very, very hard on myself. And to any other recovering addicts that are watching this, like it's not okay. It's not okay at all. And I know that and I'm okay to admit that.
Is that why you're going sober in 2020?
Nah, not at all. The difference with me is because of some outside force, some extraterrestrial, some religious situation, the desire to use hardcore drugs or recreational drugs has been stripped from me. And I can watch fucking people do coke. And I know that it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. It brings me back to a terrible time and I want nothing to do with it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
When you see people doing cocaine, which is, you know, every LA party you ever go to, do you have any urge to try to stop people, or why would you let them just keep going?
Because that's just not who I am. I will happily talk to people who have expressed a desire to stop and can't find out how. I'd love to talk to those people, and I wish I could do a little bit more of it. But I'll be honest with you, dude, the desire to stop using drugs is not going to come from me telling you to do so. It's a moment. It's an apex of other situations in your life or from internally where you make that decision. Somebody coming up to you and be like, hey, I just want to let you know you shouldn't be doing. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing hardcore narcotics. I shouldn't be putting these up my nose. Thanks for the fucking news flash, asshole. Like, I'm trying to enjoy my cocaine party right now and you're fucking ruining it.
I decided a long time ago, if I'm at a party and someone busts out some coke, I'm at the wrong place. So geographically, I'm not in a good location.
For
right
you,
now.
That makes a ton of sense. It just, once again, it goes back to, I always say different strokes for different folks. Like those, some of those people are the people that I fuck with from a business standpoint. I take the goods, I leave the bads. Like those are the people I need to collaborate with. Those are the people I need to, a lot of times are the girls that I want sex with because a lot of those girls utilize hardcore narcotics. And so like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you want, it's all about what you want. Like, I agree with you, different strokes for different folks, but if you want like real, like, genuine connects and like real people who are like impacting the world, and that's the route you want to go.
You'd be surprised how many impactors that you know that might just do a little nose candy.
I'll tell him one right now.
No, oh, holy shit.
Believe the name.
Shit.
No, believe the name.
Why don't you just not say it?
No, I'll believe the name.
Do you want to just whisper it over here?
No. Do you know how many fucking drugs he does? I was going to say the same name.
Really?
You said
oh,
it.
Yeah, dude.
Do you have any idea?
He fires up.
Bro, I mean, that is just one of the many verticals of the crazy life he lives.
Yeah.
And all the things that, I don't know.
Dylan Hellestine, better drug education growing
Dare
just. Did Dare not do it for
you? It doesn't work. Dare doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Dare worked on me. Dare worked on me. Dare worked on you too, Mac.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Right,
I don't know why, but
I thought that was the general consensus.
When I saw people with meth teeth, that was where I was like, ooh. And then like, yeah, no.
I've been hearing about a new like generation of parents that have been more successful than Dare in telling their kids like about the way to responsibly use. And more so if you're going to, there's even been some that have said, if you're going to use drugs, use them with me.
I know.
Can you imagine doing coke for your first time with your mom or your grandma, grandma? Cause your mom just like, isn't there. So you have your grandma and she's like, when I was your age, wait. I was doing this on the corner of Harlem and 52nd.
I think that conversation is more for alcohol and weed. What parent is like, yo, if you're going to do coke.
Nah, but there are some.
Let's get it together.
Hold on a second. Let's go back to a conversation we had recently with someone that is in a parental role that was like, I got some bomb coke. Do you remember that conversation?
Mm.
You know? Mm-mm. And it was a parent.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but what parent is going to...
yeah, it's weird.
Like, okay, for me, when I have a plan. When I'm a parent...
Do you remember the conversation you do?
Okay. My way to get my kids to probably stay away from drugs and alcohol until they're 21... I'll just say this, because a lot of kids, they want to be rebels. And if you tell them straight up, no, you can't do this.
Right.
They're going to do it.
Facts,
right?
Facts.
And my parents never really told that to me. So I never felt like I needed to lash out. That combined with Dare, I was like, this is stupid. That is a fucking dumb choice for me to make, especially because I want to be the best wrestler in the state. I want a full academic ride to college. I got that shit because I wasn't distracted by drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have a kid, I think I am going to sit him / her down and respectfully and articulate the consequences of the action that they're thinking about doing thinking about doing. And by the way, I'll tell them straight up. I'm not telling you do this. I'm not telling you don't do this. But I've lived a hefty amount of life and I've seen the worst sides of this thing. And trust me, it's not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, if they're anything like me, which something tells me they will be, there's probably they're going to be curious. And they're probably going to do it anyways because I also don't want to tell them to not do something because sometimes, bro, you just got to learn for yourself.
Did your dad have an open conversation or was it like fear-based? Was it never brought up?
Oddly enough, bro, drugs, alcohol, and sex, as open as my family is, were never talked about remotely.
Yeah.
Remotely.
That's where I think the damage can happen. I think like you're probably an outlier in that situation.
Absolutely.
But like the parents that think that like not talking about it and like just, you know, hoping that, like, or just using fear. Like, dude, that does so much damage.
I think
that
the message, so I think the message needs to continue to be don't do. I think you need to at least at some point in your life as a parent slip don't do drugs into the conversation. Like,
no, because see, I, the see, last thing I would, I, my messaging simply would be like,
this is what will happen.
No, probably don't do drugs.
I think if like, you're a parent though, and you,
I don't want to drill like, don't do drugs. Yeah. It'd be like, yo,
what if that's what you should, like my mom, it's so funny. I tell people this sometimes. She told me that I could do anything I wanted except for get a street bike, a handgun, or a tattoo.
Ooh, she shouldn't. And I always
say that
things.
To her. I go, Mom, you could have fucking told me, you could have just added heroin into the mix too. It would have saved me a bunch of fucking problems. Yeah. And she, but, oh wait. And no, did I say cigarettes? She didn't want me smoking cigarettes either, even though she fucking smoked cigarettes until I was like,
yo, I just think,
old.
I think I have, I'm very optimistic about the way my kid will be. And I will have hopefully developed a sense of trust between him and I, where he knows if if words leave my mouth, they have weight. So when I say like, hey man, probably don't do drugs. It's with the underlying assumption that like, hey man, probably don't do drugs because that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. I think my parents did a good job of not, we didn't really talk about it too much, but they did a good job of making sure I was hanging out with good kids.
Ooh, that's important.
And they were connected to good parents. So like if I ever started hanging out with a like one of those like borderline, you know, kids, like they would step in and be like, you're not going to hang
my
out
mom
with them.
Tried,
and they would like get in the way of it. So
my mom tried, but they were like brothers to me already. Like she tried so hard. This one kid, Matt, the same kid that banged my high school sweetheart. She was like, this kid's a fuck. She hated Matt, dude. And by the way, he's still in trouble, but like sometimes that conversation could be hard for parents because sometimes you just create that brotherly bond. So that's so fucking hard with someone where it's like, yo, imagine in some crazy universe where Jakey was a problem child. And you know, you don't have the option.
No, bro, but his was worse because he was a problem not because of drugs and alcohol.
Right. But imagine like you don't have the option to just, I don't really fuck with Jakey anymore. Yeah. Like you do. And by the way, some people do that. Some people are like, yo, I don't know my brother anymore. Fuck that kid. He almost fucked me. Right. Like you can't do that, bro. Yeah. Like that bond is too
important. I think it's going to be fun to see our generation have kids because we're having kids so much later. And I feel like we're not going to fall for as many of the like bad parenting techniques that our parents passed on to us.
But there are a lot of them better. Still exist.
100%.
Like the new one is helicopter parenting, where it's like you're like, don't do drugs. And you know for a fact they're not going to do drugs, by the way. You want to know how? Because you're with them 24 hours a day. So when they go to their first party, you're like, it's little Tommy. No, don't do that.
Think about this. Find my iPhone or find your friends.
Yeah, you can get hunted down.
You can track your kid. You can make it. Yo, you want a phone? Because I pay for all your bills. You're gonna turn on find your friends. And I will always know where you are.
That's smart. We're talking about shit that's definitely already happening. You said you're
of course.
How many fucking times did you use? How many times did you use the? Oh, I'm sleeping at Jimmy's house tonight. Lying on your parents. You ain't sleeping at Jimmy's house. You're at fucking Margaret's house.
That's what I'm saying. But now
they're like, oh yeah, I checked your location on your phone. You little shit. Get home or your father's gonna beat the snot out of you.
Yeah. That's cool. If you're a parent and you know how to utilize technology, you're smart. If you're the kid, damn, that sucks, dude. Yeah, that was nice when we could just like go wherever. Nobody could like hunt us.
Bro, I would just be on my bike with all four pegs, even though I didn't need four pegs.
You only need two in the back.
You only need two. Yeah. No,
really, well, you're one of the four peg kids.
It depends on what you're at first.
Okay.
Then when I got into serious BMX, you really just need two pegs on one side because it's all about what your strongest grinding side is. So I used to grind on the left.
That's badass.
People that rode four pegs that can grind on both sides, they were the outliers, but those people are fucking weird, to be honest with you.
Moral of the story. Don't do drugs. And drinking is a drug, guys.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it definitely is.
All right, I'm looking at you too.
I know.
I think it is a drug.
I think it is a drug.
I also think mushrooms are a drug.
No. And we're looking back at you.
I think psychedelics are drugs.
So
even if they're natural.
On that point.
Yeah, what constitutes a drug versus not a drug?
I think anything that alters your state of mind, especially to that degree.
Acutely. Because technically then money would be the biggest of all, probably money or pussy, but like
drugs,
but like, yeah. but
are they drugs?
Could be argued that money is a drug.
Yeah. I mean, they say it is, but the difference is not, it's not as acute. The acute nature of narcotics or mushrooms or acid or whatever to quickly and broadly and very seriously affect your ability to compute and reason.
True.
Is, I think, is what constitutes a drug. So like money would take years to really start to, or like you could win the lotto, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I'm finished podcasting for the day.
We've just been here for a while.
We've been here for so many shows.
Yeah, we have.
And did like we talked about a lot of raunchy shit on this episode.
Before we'll get out of here, yesterday was Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm so full from that Thanksgiving turkey too. Yeah, wow. Like I'm bloated up on tryptophan.
You guys ate turkey in Hawaii?
Yeah, oh, we're in Hawaii right now. Dang, still, right
dude,
now.
How's Thanksgiving in Hawaii, guys?
It's going good. Logan he drank a little bit too much last night. Okay. And he had sex with a large Samoan woman.
Are you sure it wasn't a turkey?
He had sex with a large Samoan turkey.
He's still trying to figure that one out.
Large Samoan
turkey woman.
What are you guys grateful for? Just real quick before we close out, because Thanksgiving and all.
Dang, dude.
Can we come up with weird ones? I have one ready.
I had a simple one.
Go.
I'm grateful for Impulsive. And the Impulsive audience. Man, I'm grateful.
I got two. Ooh. I'm grateful for the review team.
Thanks,
and the ability to actually remove content that shouldn't be there. And I'm also grateful for, this is on a similar note, I'm grateful for the ability to retry things in life. The ability, second chances.
Ooh.
I'm thankful for second chances after this conversation we had today. And if you're still watching this episode and you're out there and you've put yourself in a tough spot in life, or you've done some things that you think you'll never get over, or you're regretting something that you've done and it's like holding strong onto you and it's making you feel a certain way, just know that, you know, there's more to come for you, and there's more life, as Drake would say, to live. And so I'm thankful for second chances.
Love it. How about you, LP?
I'm thankful for my parents. I'm very thankful for my parents. And I do not show them enough gratitude, I think, because I'm very heavily consumed with the LA lifestyle. But mom, dad, Greg, Pam, Pamsters, GP coming at you, I want you to know I love you and I care for you guys. And I really, really, really do appreciate everything you've done for me, because of the values that you've instilled within me, I've been able to live an incredibly happy and fulfilling life and chase every goal that I've ever wanted to. And so that means a lot. I thank you, mom and dad. I love you.
That was an important week for that to be said too. I'm hoping they watch that. I'm actually going to text them and tell them to watch that, because
they got to get through quite a bit of juice to get to that.
They need to hear that. And mom, if you're still watching, I love you too. And dad, I don't think you are, because I don't think you know how to operate a smartphone or a computer. But mom, I know you watch this with dinner every night. I love you. And I hope you're well. And I'm sorry about being such a degenerate.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. We're coming up on 2 million subscriber followers, and we're going to reach it soon. So thanks. We'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.